How you guys doing? Good. You hear me all right? Good, good. Well, man, I don't think I've ever been this nervous in a long time. And man, I've been speaking for a long time now, and there's something about this weekend that just kind of got me in the past day. And maybe it's because I'm feeling something's going to happen this weekend. And maybe I'm already feeling the Spirit move, but something big is going to happen this weekend. I'm excited about it. I hope you guys are too. When Bob first contacted Mike and I months ago about this, I was pumped. I was like, this is awesome. You know, Mike and I, we're just early 20s. We're just getting out in ministry and all that kind of stuff. And we're both newlyweds. He's already got one kid. I've got a dog who's just like a kid. I got so excited about it. And now, like, we're leading a week up to it. And Bob's in Thailand, so it's a good thing he probably didn't hear me say this. I couldn't email to him. Like, does Bob know he's bringing, like, 20-something-year-old kids to do this weekend? Like, I'm the same kid who used to play dodgeball with plastic bowling pins up in the children's wing. And I saw the mothers, you guys were like, what? It's not a dangerous game if you don't lose. As long as you win, you're fine. But it's cool because we're here. And we're excited. And I hope you guys are too. Some of you may not be excited. Maybe you got dragged here. That's happened before to me. I'm not going to mention any names. Mom. There's many times I had to come to North Street when I didn't want to, but maybe that's you tonight. And maybe you're here. Maybe you're searching for some answers. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you're wondering. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're broken. Maybe this is a weekend you can get some answers. Do you guys? I want to ask you guys a quick question. Do you guys ever remember a time or think of a relationship where you long for the days of old? You want the glory days. Maybe that's with a relationship or you've heard of something that used to be really good, but it's not so much anymore, and you kind of want that back. I get like that with some stuff. Specifically, kind of like right now in the year, it's spring training in baseball, and I've heard this rumor. I need some of you that are older than me to help me out with this. I've heard this rumor. Were the Pittsburgh Pirates actually a good team before? I've been hearing this for a long time, and I heard about the championships, and I heard they used to have good players, and they wouldn't trade them away, and I heard they were just great, and it was awesome. People loved watching them way back, who knows when. I mean, the last time they had a winning season, I was 7. I don't remember it, but I hear about it, and as a baseball fan, I kind of want that back. I kind of want those glory days a little bit. Or maybe this happens in relationships. It happens in marriages. Danielle, my wife, we've been married for over a year and a half now, and we're actually just talking about this. We talk about how relationships change, especially marriages, and we were thinking about it. Like, think back to when you and your spouse, or even think of me and Danielle, when we first dated, everyone was on their best behavior. You know what I mean? Like, the guy was this perfect, sweet guy. He'd always open the door for the girl. He was always nice to the girl. Take her out on great dates and take her out to nice dinners. You know, just do great stuff. And the girl would always look her best for her man. Everything was always perfect. The outfit, the makeup, everything was flawless. And you flash forward a couple years. Some things change. Instead of opening the door, you're yelling from the car, "Woman, hurry up, we're going to be late!" Or instead of taking out the nice dinner, it's like, "Hey, what are you cooking for dinner tonight?" Or the woman, instead of, you know, always looking her best, she's coming out, she's blowing her nose in front of you, something she would never do when you were first dating. Or she would come out of the bathroom in this, like, green, crazy, like, organic facial mask, and, like, you look at her like it's some cheap horror movie. Even the dog's kind of like, "What in the world?" But things change. And even though those things aren't necessarily bad in marriages, it's kind of just, it goes with the growth. But sometimes we long for the old days. We long for renewal. The Israelites were like, as God's people, they wanted the glory days. They wanted what happened before because they were kind of stuck. And specifically, a prophet by the name of Habakkuk, he was longing for this. If you read the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, this prophet, pretty much the way the book goes is Habakkuk fires out a question and God answers him. And he fires out another one and God answers him back. And then finally, towards the end of the book, in Habakkuk 3, verse 2, we hear this request. "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." You see, things weren't the same. Habakkuk and the Israelites, they remembered how things used to be. How it used to be great. They remembered all the great deeds that God did. They remember the ark and how God saved the human race through Noah. And they remember Moses and how Moses led the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. And they remember God leading them into the promised land. And they remember the great kings, David and Solomon. They remember all of that. But that was in the past, and they wanted it again. They wanted it renewed. Because of Israel's sin, they were kind of stuck in this rut, and just they were waiting on this Messiah that God promised, and they're frustrated. They want to know what's going on. And Habakkuk says, "God, bring us renewal." And God would, but in His timing. You see, God had a plan, and He stuck to it. And He was going to bring renewal for the Israelites, but He was also going to bring renewal for the entire world. And so when it was time, it came. After hundreds of years of silence, God finally broke the silence with the sound of a baby cry. It was time for renewal. It was time for new life. Flash forward 30 years, and Jesus starts His ministry. And He gets right down to it, man. He brought renewal. He brought heaven to earth. He brought new life. I mean, He's performing miracles. He's teaching. He's sharing. He's loving. He's healing the sick. He's making the lame walk. The mute can talk. The deaf can hear. Man, He's renewing this entire world. It's amazing. And something Jesus loved doing when He was teaching was He loved to take basic earthly things, kind of like water, wind, and fire, interesting, and give them spiritual, deeper meanings for us to relate to. And He used water. He used water to kind of represent new life. A refreshing, new life. So we're going to look at that tonight. If you want to follow along, we're going to be in John 4. And now we come across this story in John 4. Here's just kind of the backdrop. Jesus is making this journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. No, Judea to Galilee, I'm sorry. He's making this journey from Judea to Galilee. And along the way, they get tired because they're walking, all that kind of stuff. So Jesus takes a break at this well, and He sends the apostles along in town to get supplies or whatever. And Jesus is at this well, and sure enough, here comes this woman. And she's coming to get some water. But something's up. Something's not right about this situation. Let me kind of give you a reason why something's up. First of all, it says in the Bible that it's the middle of the day. It's noon. It's hot. And this well is a half mile from the town. And this woman is coming by herself. This doesn't make sense because you have to understand the culture then. The well was kind of like the hangout spots for women. They would go in the evening when it gets cooler. They would all go get their water, all that kind of stuff. This was kind of a place for the girls to hang out, you know. They'd get there like, "Ooh, where'd you get those clothes? Well, I made them myself. You look fabulous. Oh, thank you. Did you hear about so-and-so? I know, I can't believe that." So this is a place for the women just to hang and build relationships with one another. And it was great. It was a scary place for guys. We don't go there. But it was great for the women because they could just hang out. And we let the kids run crazy for a while. And they would just kind of build relationship with one another. But here's this woman by herself in the heat of the day coming to get water a half mile away. And she came because she thirsted. I mean, she was thirsty. We all get thirsty. But we're going to see in this story, she thirsted for something more. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus was ready for that. We're going to pick up in verse 7. It says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?'" This is a simple request. Just give me a drink of water. But we're going to see Jesus uses this request as a bridge builder for this entire story. Now, picking up in verse 9, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.'" Now, this woman who's alone, who's probably dying to talk to somebody. She hears this guy, this Jew, say, "Will you give me a drink of water?" She's kind of like, "Whoa, how can you ask me for water?" So you have to understand, Jews and Samaritans did not hang out. They didn't talk. Samaritans, they were part Jew and part Gentile. They were part non-Jew. And pretty much what happened is this race formed because a Jew decided to marry outside of the Jewish race. And because of that, the Samaritans came about. And the Jews hated them, despised them. Every Samaritan was unclean to the Jews. In fact, some Jews went out of their way. They wouldn't even go through Samaria. They went up and around it because they didn't want to even be near it. And so this woman is just kind of thrown off guard a little bit by Jesus, this guy, this Jew, his willingness to talk to her. And so this happens, and Jesus replies with this. We're picking up in verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answers, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty and I won't have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus tells her, "Listen, if you understood who was talking to you right now, you wouldn't be saying, 'Why are you talking to me?' You'd be asking me for a drink. And the drink that I give you is living water." And what he meant by that is the drink I give you is life. A new life. And she was intrigued by that. But you could see she wasn't getting it just yet. And she's asking for this living water. And she goes, "You know, how can you get this living water? This well is deep. You have nothing to get it with. How can you do it? I would love this living water." But Jesus said, "No, you're not getting it. It's not the water that you're drinking out of this well. It's something more. It's something deeper. It's something better. See, the water from this well, you're just going to drink it and you'll get thirsty later. But the water I give, the life I give, you'll never thirst again. You'll be complete." And again, she's really wanting this water. She says, give me this living water." And I can imagine, here's why. Because I think she's sick of coming to this well in the middle of the day, in the middle of the heat by herself. I think she's sick of day in, day out, not having anyone to talk to, having no one to lean on, no one to build relationship with. I think she's sick of this life that she has. Because she says, "I don't want to come back here to this well anymore. Give me this living water so I don't have to." She's sick of it. She's sick of this life. And I can just picture Jesus cracking a smile, because it's kind of like a kid who's close to getting it but not there yet. I can just picture him just cracking the smile, and then he does something that he can do to every single one of us. He gets right to the heart of the problem. Verse 16, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Pretty much, "I'll give you more answers. Just go get your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus replies, "You were right when you say you don't have a husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." And there it is. Now we see it all coming together. You see, Jesus got right down to the point. Jesus told her, "You don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five of them. And the one right now is not your husband." And what this shows is that Jesus knew her. Just like Jesus knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our problems. He knows our secrets. He knows our pain. He knows us. He knew this woman. And we start to see this is why she's by herself. She's made choices in life that didn't turn out so good. She has made choices that have taken life away from her. She's had husband after husband after husband, and those didn't work out. Now she's on to this new guy. And it's not working out. Now, of course, through all of this, she's going to build a reputation. And it's not going to be a good one. Of course she's going to be labeled as an outcast. Of course the other women don't want her around. Why would they? Is she going to try to steal my husband next? I don't want her around my children. Who knows what they were saying, but they wanted nothing to do with her. And that's why this woman is left without the life she wants. And now she's left going by herself with no women friends, no authentic relationships, nothing. And obviously she hasn't found it through her husband because she keeps going through him. Now we start to see why this situation is so unique. And of course she wants this living water now because she's sick of this life. And so hearing this, and she hears that this Jesus knows her. And he knows her situation. So she's intrigued by that. So they talk some more. And they talk about faith and religion. Because remember, she's a Samaritan. So she has some Jew in her. And she has, I think she has some longings for this relationship with God. And she's wondering about it. And there's always the arguing between the Samaritans and the Jews about where to worship and how to have a relationship with God. And things just aren't making sense for her, which confuses her even more. But what we see is that she's longing for something deeper. She wants a stronger relationship with God. She wants a better life. She wants a new life. And it's awesome because Jesus explains to her, listen, what you're longing for, it's coming. And actually, it's here now. And then it happens. Verses 25 and 26, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am He. I can only imagine a reaction at that point. What? Huh? What? I'm sure it's a beautiful scene. And if heaven has a replay TV, I want to watch this. Because here it is. She sees it all come together. This living water that Jesus is offering her is new life. And from there, everything that she had done in the past, all the mistakes that she had made, all the choices, all the sin that took life away from her, they were gone. They were all in the past. Nothing else mattered. This moment, she's living right now, and at that point, she was new. She was a new creation. She had a new life. And she left that old woman, that old life, she left it at the well that day. Because Jesus gave her new life. He gave her fresh water. The old was gone. The new came. She was renewed. This is what Jesus came to do. This is His purpose. He came to give fresh living water. He came to give new life. John 10:10 says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I absolutely love this story because what we see is that this woman, and she's at the well, and we see that she's made decisions. And she's thirsty for more. And that there's this, that sin that she has done has taken life away from her. And she's longing for something more, something deeper, something better. And Jesus came to give her that better. He came to give her that new life. She was given fresh water. She was renewed. Now here's where we fit in. We're the same. We've all sinned. We've all made choices that have taken life away from us. Apart from Christ, our lives are not what they're supposed to be. We are left longing of what used to be or what could be. And we can't hide. Just like Jesus knew the woman at the well, He knows us. He knows everything we think, everything we have done, everything that we're going to do. He knows our past, present, and future. He knows all of it. He knows the sin we have committed. Because He bore it on His shoulders. And the sin, these choices, it puts a burden on us. And it puts some weight on us. And everything that we have done, all those burdens, all those choices, Jesus came to take that away and say, no, 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 no. Take this. Take new life. Jesus came to renew us. Everything we thirst for in life, and we all long for a better life, everything we long for is fulfilled through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But here's where we get ourselves into trouble. You see, Jesus came to give us new life. He didn't come to give us a couple of upgraded parts that are kind of hiding the old things. It's not like you take a car that's kind of beat up and you give it a nice paint job to make it look nice, but everything inside is still old and rusted. No, Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to give us an entire new life. Everything of the old is gone. But this is where we keep messing up. Because if Jesus came to give us new life, I got a question for all of us. Why do we insist on dragging the old with us? Here's what I need. I need the three guys, and I need my brother Austin to come up here right now. I didn't talk to Austin about this, but is Austin here? Oh, he's way up in the balcony. Way to be difficult. Yeah. So I need you guys to stand up front there. Up here? In front of the table. Come on, you big galoot. Put that on. Put that on. Because you have the biggest muscles and I'm jealous, you get this one.
Oh, thanks.
And you put that one on. All right. So what happens is we have this life, okay? And we all make decisions, correct? And we all sin. I don't think anyone here can say they haven't sinned before. Ooh. And this sin, what this does is it takes life away and it adds burdens. And it adds weight. And this weight is not what God intended. And this weight keeps adding on and adding on. And soon we become like the woman at the well. This is lovely, by the way. Come on, I need this on your shoulder, man.
Huh?
I need this on your shoulder. You need to rock it like you're proud of it. There we go. And so we make these choices and sin takes it away and we have this weight. Here's where Jesus comes in. Jesus says, I'll take your weight. I'll take your choices. I'll take your sin. I'll take the life that you're living now that's not very good. I'll take that from you. Don't bear it anymore. You have to sit down. Yeah. I'll take it all. Because Jesus said, you're not supposed to live this way. So Jesus goes to the cross. And at that point, he takes every weight, every choice, every sin we have ever committed, and he puts it on the cross. And for hours, he says, bring it on me. And he says those three magical words, it is finished. And it's done. Sin is defeated. New life has come. Now this sin is not to be picked back up. It is not to be carried. Because someone took it already and they took it from us. Why would we take it back from them? But this is what we keep doing. Why do we keep picking up that weight again? When Jesus came to renew life and He did it and we accept it, why do we keep insisting on dragging it with us? Like we're going to hide it. No. When Jesus put it on the cross, He meant for it to stay there. At the well that day, that Samaritan woman left the old, left the weight at that well. And she took her new life. We are to do the same thing. It is time for us to leave the old behind and accept this renewed life. The only life that Jesus offers. Now, I love how Jesus commands us to when we accept this new life from Him, we represent it through baptism. And baptism is just, it's so cool. I mean, I've got the honor to baptize my brother Austin and some other people, and I've been baptized in this very baptism right here, and it's just so cool to me. And this is what it represents. Paul writes this in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. Enter that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. This is what it's showing. We have new life. We are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Fresh water, fresh life, renewed. Oh, it's beautiful. And I like to think in baptism, and you know, there's no theological statement behind this, but I like to think all that sin, that old life just sinks to the bottom to stay there. And you come out new, refreshed. Until we decide to pick it back up again. So do you thirst? You guys want renewal? You want new life? And here's where it starts. Drop the weight. Leave the old behind. We have these water stations set up, three up here, two in the back, and you all have a rock. And you're wondering, what in the world is a rock for? This rock represents whatever you keep holding on. Whatever part of your old life that you keep dragging behind you, that's what this is. And tonight, it's time to accept renewal and leave the weight behind. Whatever that may be, whether it's a sin, whether it's lust, or it's bitterness, or whatever that may be. Maybe it's a grudge that you have with someone in this room or someone in your family outside of this room. Whatever it is, it's time to let it go. Because if we don't, we're not going to get the new life that Jesus wants to give us. And I think it's time to leave the weight where it's supposed to be. The foot of the cross. So what's going to happen is Mike is going to come up and he's just going to kind of play some music, and when you guys are ready, you're going to pray about it, whatever it is that you're holding on to. As one, you come up, you let your burdens, your choices, your sin that takes life away, let it sink to the bottom and leave it there. And let's experience together a renewed life through Jesus, the one that He intended tonight. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You so much for Your Son Jesus. I thank You for Him bringing renewal to this world, Lord, that we so desperately need. I thank You for the story of the woman at the well, Lord. She made choices, and we make choices, Lord, to take life away, but You came to give new life. And You took those burdens, You took that weight, Lord, and You took it on the cross to die. And we are not supposed to pick it back up, Lord. And I pray tonight is a chance that we drop that burden, we drop that weight, so we can live in You, and we can be a new creation through You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for renewing us. In Your name we pray. Amen.